When I laid back into my body, I shot up and I was petrified because I thought that I was dying. I thought that I was going to die, literally, because I'm like, why did I leave my body? This scared the mess out of me.
Jennifer Bagnashi of Deep Believer, it's great to have you here on Charisma. And we get to hear your story today. I mean, I love on your YouTube channel that you do such a good job of highlighting amazing men and women of God that have had incredible encounters with the Lord. But you have had incredible encounters with the Lord. And now we're going to kind of reverse the tables. And now I'm going to get to interview you instead of you interviewing somebody else. So welcome to Charisma. And I'm excited to hear your story.
John, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you inviting me onto your show. So yeah, the Charisma family.
Yeah. So Jennifer, tell me about this whole Deep Believer YouTube channel. How did God speak to you about this and the ministry that you've been a part of for a while?
Sure. Well, it started years ago. Both my parents are ministers. And so I was raised into the church, and we were raised in a Baptist household at first, but then my mother, she wanted more, you know, so she went to a different church than my father afterward and began to go to a Pentecostal church in Woo-wee-woo. Okay. So we were able to see the glory of God actually manifested, activated there. So, I mean, so there was no doubt in my mind what God could do. I think we joined the church when I was 8 years old, and I began to see the glory of God. There was never a doubt in my mind what God could do after that. I began to see miracles. I saw demon possessions, deliverances, all that stuff. And you can't, once you see it, you can't say God is not real. So over time, and I was in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Over time, we moved to Connecticut. When we moved to Connecticut, I'm in my teens now, and we began to go to a church where there was not much power, and not a lot of power at all, to be honest. Like, it's really hard to find a good church in Connecticut or New England in general. You know, I love New England. I feel like it's the most beautiful place.
That is a tough place spiritually. Yeah.
Very tough. Very tough. And then I realized that there was definitely a deficit in the church. The faith was not there. They didn't know the power that they had. There was a lot of discreet witchcraft that was going on, which a lot of people know the history anyway of New England. But I realized that there was a deficit in the church where a church would speak it, pastors would speak it, ministers would speak the Bible, they would know their Bible, but there was no action to it. Mm. And matter of fact, there was a woman, she would come to my house all the time, sweet woman, went to the same church. So I believe because we went to the same church, we had the same beliefs in how powerful God is. So she would come over spontaneously here or there, never knew when she would come. And she was in our kitchen and we were talking about God, enjoying it, until I mentioned that there are things in our lives that we really don't have to go through because God's given us the whole armor of God, you know, and not every fight is a battle and not every battle is a war. And she began to back up, never came back to my house ever again. And I'm like, yes. And I'm like, okay, the church has a problem. So I realized that there were a lot of unbelieving believers. And when I would tell people of my supernatural experiences, how I would see angels, how I left my body, and you know, how I came back and I saw Jesus and spiritual warfare, that Christians wouldn't believe me. But the non-believers would. And the non-believers at that time, we have bookstores, right? So they would go to Barnes & Noble or wherever to get Bibles. But the Christians laughed at me. And I said, okay, it's not me, it's you. You know, usually you would say, no, it's not you, it's me. No, it's them and it wasn't me. Because, you know, you have to know who you are in Christ. And I would read my Bible and I'm like, well, this is what the Bible says. Why aren't you standing on the word of God? And it's because we do put our faith more into what ministers teach as opposed to what we allow Holy Spirit to teach us when we read the word of God. So after that, long story short, we moved to Colorado. And this is about 4 years ago. And I get a, in my, I had a, you know, everybody has a YouTube channel just to have. I wasn't doing much on it. And I got a LinkedIn request from a woman named Linda. And I don't know what agency she was with, but she asked me to interview one of America's top number one cardiologist in America. At that time, I didn't know what cardiology meant at the time, to be honest. So I called it cardiology and I got backlash. It's cardiology, not cardiology. I'm like, look, I'm thinking cardio.
In the comments section, you mean?
Yes, it was hilarious. Oh my God, I didn't know, but now I know it's cardiology, not cardio. So anyway, even though it is cardio. So anyway, so at first I made up in my mind. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I've never interviewed anyone. I used to always want to be a journalist, but when I saw journalists getting attacked on streets when I was a teenager, I said, okay, let me go for interior design. So that's what I went to school for. But my heart and passion was always people, learning more about them and, you know, hearing their life story. So anyway, I made up in my mind, no, I am not going to, I'm just not going to do this interview. So then I'm praying about it. And then the Lord put on my heart, do it. So I'm like, okay, fine, I'll do it. I said, but nobody's going to watch it anyway. So that makes it easier for me to do this interview. So the man's name was Dr. Sam Kojoglanian. And yeah, and he's amazing. So I interviewed you. Yeah. And actually, and he became, I guess he was my very real first one. I had two friends. I said, okay, guys, I said, I'm about to interview one of America's top cardiologists. So I actually need you guys to, you know, act like I've been on a show for a while, you know, so I can interview you. So I had two of my closest friends do two interviews, and you can just check back that. Their name is Stacey and Diana. So they did that for me. And I did Sam Kojoglanian. After that, I think 2 weeks later, we went to Florida. No action, Holly, no action on this, you know, on this video. Mm-hmm. Went to Florida. I'm in bed. I wake up to ding, ding, ding on my phone. My phone's just going off, and it's people watching this video. And I'm like, out of nowhere, what? So it was going and in the thousands. And at the time, I think I only had 36 subscribers at the time. And it just kept going off and off and off. And I realized, wow, everybody's watching this video. And I remember one person said, I can't believe there's only, at that time, 44 subscribers to this channel. This is really good. And so it went up to the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. Yeah, hundreds of thousands, something like that. So long story short, my husband said, well, you have to keep going. I said, I do. He said, well, yeah, you keep going. I'm like, well, how do I find people? He said, God will make a way. And ever since then, the Lord has always provided me people. And I said, Lord, give me everyone who you're speaking through, you know, what message do you have to put out? Because this is not for my gain. I can care less, you know, what I want. You know, I want a lot of things, but I realized nothing's going to prosper if it's not really in the hands of God when it's for God's work. So yeah, so that's history. And now, I mean, we've met so many wonderful people. And I know you mentioned that, like, we even are, you know, we're connected to the same people, Charisma and Deep Believer. It's amazing, because I said, Lord, I want what you're speaking to the church, not what I think, because we all have opinions, and our opinions really don't matter at the end of the day if it doesn't mesh or match with the word of God. So
yeah. One of the things that you're so good about in your interviews is you are very good about getting out of the way and letting the other people talk. And I'm grateful that we get to hear you talk in this and hear your story. And I want to hear about your experience, your encounter with the Lord. Because you said earlier that people weren't believing you whenever you were talking, or Christians rather, weren't believing you whenever you were talking about these encounters you had with the Lord. Well, I got to tell you, the Charisma audience is going to believe what you have to say. So tell us what it is that you experienced with the Lord.
Oh, gosh. John. Okay. All right. So it's so much. All right. So there was a time when, so I didn't know, let's go way back. So I didn't know that people would actually die and come back to life. You know, I didn't know, well, I knew that it's in the Bible, Jesus died and came back to life, but I didn't know that it was still common today. I had no idea until I began to hear testimonies. So I would hear testimonies of Jesse Duplantis and other people. And I'm like, wow, this sounds amazing. Wow. So I began to research and hear more testimonies about it. And I always prayed for that to happen to me. I said, oh, that would be great for that to happen to me. I would love that. You just bring me back. So anyway, so after a while, and it was about probably over a year, I began to lose hope. And I said, you know what, Lord, I trust you. You know, the Bible says, seek and you shall find, knock and I'll answer, you know. And I said, it seems like nothing's being open to me, for me to, you know, receive that part of the supernatural. Because I would love to see heaven. I would love, I don't want to see hell. But, you know, I would love to see heaven. And I would love to. So anyway, long story short, I'm lying in bed. And I said to myself, I said, Lord, I know you said you're not a respecter of persons, but it kind of seems like you are, because all the testimonies that I've heard so far over the year have been all male and not female. So I guess you just don't allow, you know, females to, you know, go to heaven. Maybe it's a male thing. I don't know. And God looks at your heart and he knows I was being sincere. So I just gave up literally. When I said that, I said, okay, I gave up. This is how he rolls. So, and that night I'm laying in bed. You can read this in my book. It's so funny. So I'm laying in bed. Next thing I know, I sit up out of my body and it was like a knowing. And when I left my body, it was like, I don't know if you've ever gone skiing, but like when you go skiing, like you're outside in the cold and then you hit the warm air of the inside, you know, where the fireplace, it's like that thin sheet of air. It just felt like I just left a thin sheet of something, sat up out of my body. It was the most amazing experience I'd ever had. And it was cool. The only word that I could explain at that time was, this is cool. But you're in your right mind at the same time. So it's not like a dream. You know, people wonder if it's like, if you're in a dreamy state. I wasn't dreaming. It was literally like happening. You're in your right mind. You can think, you can smell, you can hear. Everything is heightened. But one thing I did feel is that you feel the love of God even so much stronger. And I know the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that's where I was. And I'm like, this is amazing. But like I said, I was still thinking. So I'm like, okay, Lord, you said that, you know, ask and we shall receive. Okay, I got this. And I feel like, okay, you could take me to heaven, but if you do, could you bring me back? Because I have a husband, I have two kids, you know, I have a lot of responsibility. They'd be devastated if I never came back. And I begin to reason and get a little bit fearful with him. Well, God, and that's when I learned Jesus is a gentleman, because as I began to get a little bit fearful, he laid me back in my body slowly. When I laid back into my body, I shot up and I was petrified because I thought that I was dying. I thought that I was going to die, literally, because I'm like, why did I leave my body? This scared the mess out of me. So I went to the bathroom, and this was about 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm in my bathroom about 20 minutes. And I'm like, I'm tired. I need to go to bed. So I'm like, okay, here's my plan. I'm going to lay in bed and I'm going to keep my eyes open. So if I close my eyes, I won't die. So I go and I do that. I leave my eyes open. And as my eyes are open, I still feel, and I refuse to go to sleep. I still feel the air on my eyeballs as I'm laying in bed. Next thing I know, I'm taken in a vision where it's a bright white room and there's Jesus smiling at me, and he's standing behind a beautiful chaise, and it's rimmed in the most finest gold with the most beautiful intricate designs, and it had an upholstery of gold, creams, and peaches. Beautiful. I mean, it was just the most spectacular. And it makes me realize now Jesus is a carpenter, so more than likely he made that chaise for me, because I love interior design. So as I see Jesus, right, I am moving towards this chaise. But my focus, this is weird, my focus wasn't on Jesus per se, but it was on the chaise. And I'm walking and walking. Jesus is smiling and smiling. I'm just walking and walking. And next thing I know, I'm sitting on the chaise. I bring my body around and I lay my head back on the upper part of the chaise. As I did, I literally felt my eyes close and I went to sleep. And it was amazing, right? But the one thing that happened was, usually when I have these divine experiences, I can't speak about it. I don't know if that's happened to you or, you know, any one of your guests, but it's something where I can't speak about it at first. I don't know if it's because the glory of God is still so strong on it. I don't know. So I didn't tell anyone. But once I told my husband about 2 to 3 days later, or maybe it was 4 days, the devil began putting things into my head. And that's how I realized the devil cannot read your mind, but he listens. And I mean, it's so much scripture to back up how the devil can't read your mind. Angels can read your mind, but I truly believe that that was one thing that was taken away when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, was that ability to, you know, read our minds. That's why he has to listen and all that stuff. So anyway, that instant, I began to get thoughts of, Jesus is so disappointed in you. You didn't believe that he would take you up there and bring you back. And, you know, he's disappointed that, you know, you didn't have faith and all this crazy stuff. And so I began to ask Jesus, I said, Jesus, is that true? And Jesus literally said to me, he said to me this, he said, when you saw me, was I not smiling? Was I not happy to see you? I'm like, oh, Jesus, you're so right. You're so right. And then that's when I realized that Jesus is a gentleman. He loves us so much. The devil can't read your mind. This is why we have to be careful what we say, but ask the Lord to protect, you know, the words that we say when we say them, so the enemy won't try to run and just put mess in your mind. But yeah, so that's one of the experiences. And that's actually the foundation for the name of my book, which is I Saw God Last Night, which I wrote 10 years ago. But
yeah. Yeah. So you had this experience with the Lord, this encounter with the Lord, and you've been, by looking at the people that you've been interviewing from your, on your Deep Believer YouTube channel, it sounds like God is connecting you with other people that have had similar experiences with him. As you're comparing notes, what are some of the things that stand out to you with some of the people? Like, what are the things that you're like, it resonates with you in a way because you've experienced that yourself?
That there's always more. That because like you think that you've experienced so much until you speak to someone else, and the Lord even showed them more. And, you know, they've been shown, you know, like, or for instance, like I'll have people from different countries where they'll tell me the most craziest things. And they're like, yeah, because Americans are just like, you guys aren't educated in a lot of things. I mean, like they'll tell me things of, you know, they've seen people walk through walls, you know, with their witchcraft. And then, you know, and angels just easily come to them. And, you know, the Lord just shows up to them. Like, matter of fact, I have one, Bruce Allen. I think he's one of the coolest. We call him the transporter. But so he translates from one place to another whenever the Lord takes him. So, you know, people are always asking, well, what's the difference between translations and astral projection? And astral projection is when the devil assigned you to places and then, you know, you go here or there, but being translated is when the Lord picks you up and takes you places on assignments or, you know, things like that. So it's a beautiful difference, but it's like, you're always learning. So that's one thing I learned is that, and no matter what, this is another thing, sorry, I'm blabbing your ear off, but this is another thing I learned, that when I was in church, when I was a child, I would always hear people say, never be jealous of another person's anointing because this happens. And I'm like, what in the world? Why would people be jealous of your anointing? If it's your anointing, it makes no sense. But as you get older and you meet more people in ministry, oh, it's very prevalent. And you agree, I'm sure. Yes. Yeah, so the Lord showed me, he said, Jennifer, he said, not everything is for everyone. Everyone has their own assignment. I've put into place an assignment for every last person. So if you're jealous of, say, if a person is a wonderful prayer warrior, but you're good at administration, but yet you want that person's, you know, oomph when she prays, but guess what? But that's not what God calls you to do. So what you're going against is, you're not going against that person. You're going against God's work. And things aren't going to work out for you, but guess what? But God made you wonderful in administration where you can excel as far as the Lord wants you to excel. But now you're not even focusing on your task because you're going against somebody else. So everybody has their appointed tasks that the Lord has for them. And when you do it to the abundance of the glory of God, you'll always be blessed. God will always use you and he'll always accelerate you if you let him. But take your eyes off of other people when it comes to, what do you call it? Vanity? Not vanity. What do you call it? What's the right word?
Gifts, anointing.
Yes, yeah, anointing. Don't compare yourself. Just, you know, thank God for the gifts that he has given you and just go with it.
Yeah. You know, we're all called to do specific things, and there's gifts and callings that each of us have. And, you know, part of that is teaching, and God's given you a revelation to share about the armor of God. And one of the things that before we hit record here, I asked you, what is it that God's speaking to you today? And you just lit up talking about the armor of God. And I said, wait a second, we got to start recording here. So now the time's come to release you to share that message, that download that the Lord's given you about the armor of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the armor of God is truly a gift. Okay. So when we become children of God, when we give our life to Christ, the Bible says we're giving the whole armor. I used to say full armor. Whole armor is so much more adequate because it's whole, it's complete. And then people don't even realize the power that they have. Christians, children of God, have no idea their power. So if the enemy knows that you don't even know how to use your weapons, if the enemy knows that you're not even, you don't have your armor on. So picture you're out to war and you're in battle, but you're given armor. You're given a shield, you're given a sword, you're given boots, you're given a belt, you're given a helmet, you're given all these things. You don't even have it on, because honestly, a lot of Christians don't have it on. Proof that Jesus even says, put on the full armor of God, which means you have the armor, you need to put it on. Mm. But a lot of Christians aren't even taught to put it on, right? They read it, put on the full armor of God, but they're not even taught to put it on, how to put it on. And then on top of that, so now the devil knows that you have armor, you don't have it on, okay, easy target. And then if you do have it on, guess what? You don't know how to use your weapons. You have no idea. You know, the devil knows that the only offensive weapon is the word of God, which is a sword. The devil knows that. So what does he do? He makes sure you don't open your Bible. He makes sure that it collects dust. He makes sure that you don't remember scripture. Or he makes you tired when it comes time to read your Bible. So he does everything to weaken your army. A weakened army is the devil's playground. Just look what's happening around the world right now. When armies are weakened, the enemy comes in and he just destroys. And a lot of times he comes as a Trojan horse. Because if you just come full force, you're ready. Okay, let's put that armor on. But the devil is very cunning. And people say he's smart. I don't think he's smart. He's clever, because smarts come from God. He's clever and he watches. The Bible even said he watches you. And if you were to be as strong in the Lord, meaning you know your word of God, you put on the full armor of God. What does it mean? Okay, so I wrote this down. Okay, so I wouldn't forget it. So then you have the breastplate of righteousness, which is your morality. You know, you're on the right path. You stay on the right path. Okay, you have that breastplate. Then you have the shield of faith, which protects you against the enemy's attacks. So you have that shield, enemy's throwing stuff at you. But remember, you got to have the stuff on, because if you don't have it on, the enemy's going to get you. But he knows you don't know how to put your armor on. He knows that you don't know how to use it, right? So then you keep going. Then you have the helmet of salvation, which protects your mind. What's one of the number one, I would say, spiritual killers right now? Mental downfalls. Exactly. Depression, schizophrenia, the devil's messing with your mind, because guess what? He needs a body. The devil can't do anything without a body. So he has his minions. He has all this stuff to tackle your mind, because if he doesn't have you, he doesn't have anything. But guess what? If you're making yourself available for that, well, guess what? The devil's going to use you. And people think that you can't be used by the devil for your Christian. It's not true. You give the devil legal right by opening doors, by pornography, by lying, by whatever. Whatever you open your door up to where the Lord says, don't do that, don't do this, but you're doing it anyway, those are open doors. So the devil does have legal right to that. So then you keep going. And then you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I say that that's the only offensive weapon. Everything else is for defense. But you got to know the word of God. You have to know how to use it. And as I have a quick story, thanks for letting me speak, John. So anyway, so I remember one time I was laying in bed years ago and my kids were small, and I woke up and I felt a heavy presence of darkness in the bedroom. And it was thick. When I say thick, like you could almost cut it with a sword. No pun intended. So anyway, so I begin to rebuke the spirit in the name of Jesus, get out. But I had fear. So you can't fight the devil with the enemy's tools. You can't fight the devil with the enemy's weapons. Well, his weapon is fear. So he's laughing at me the whole time, more than likely. So I said, okay, let me see how far this has gone throughout the house. So I get up, leave the bedroom. I'm in the hallway. I still feel a little with the presence of evil. So then I go in my kids' room, because I'm like, okay, I want to protect them. I go in there. There is a peace. You just feel, there's nothing evil. It's just like a breath of fresh air. I'm in there. I'm like, okay, so the devil's not in there. Praise God. Okay. He's in my bedroom. So I go back in and I begin to rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. It's still not working. What am I doing wrong? I'm still using fear. So I get on my knees. I open my Bible. I said, okay, let me read the words of red. Let me read the words that Jesus spoke. And that was the only thing that voided out everything. So once I began to read the words of Jesus out loud, everything left just like that. It was like the fear of God came upon the enemy, because one, I had fear, right? But because I had that fear, I couldn't get rid of the spirits that were in my room. But once I opened the words of Jesus Christ, the word of God, the enemy left. He couldn't stay anymore. So, I mean, there's so much power in that. So then you have the gird of truth, and that's the belt, you know, and that's the unwavering support to help you stand on the truth. So you have to, when you know the truth, no matter what any other minister says, no matter what any theologian says, if Holy Spirit tells you and he backs it up with the word of God, you stand on it. Who cares what other people says? Yeah, everybody has an opinion. Everybody thinks they're so much more intellectually smarter than you when it comes to the Bible. Who cares? Because this is not a competition. So anyway, and then you have the gospel of peace for your feet. And that gives you the steadfast readiness to proclaim the gospel of God. So it's just a whole armor where you have to be on point, but don't be a weirdo. Because one thing I realized is that the enemy likes, once you become saved, he makes you either a religious nut, right? He tries to make you a religious nut or a weirdo. And a lot of people like just lose their fun personality and they become serious all the time. And we're like, they're like, Christians are boring. Christians are, you know, judgmental. Because no, the enemy, these are all tactics of the enemy. Jesus was so relatable. I mean, people don't follow weirdos. I mean, like, you may have some, like you have Jim Jones, all this, but like people don't really, you know, masses don't follow weirdos. Jesus wasn't weird. He was relatable. He was likable. Relatable, I don't know about relate because he was God. But, you know, but like people felt comfortable with him where, right. You know, he didn't make you feel less about yourself. He gave you that confidence. He was fun. Like kids loved being around him, which was taboo back in that time where kids didn't even, you know, hover around men, let alone sit on their laps like you see in the Bible. So it was just when you become a Christian, God changes you completely. And you don't have to let the enemy try to make you something that he knows would deter other people who would be potential believers because you're weird now or because you're a religious nut. I know because it happened to me. But yeah.
Yeah. So I love that story that you shared about going from room to room looking for where the fear wasn't. And once you realized what was going on, you took your authority in the word of God by reading the words of read out loud, the words of Jesus out loud. You know, I know that God's given you a revelation about the authority of Christ, the authority of the believer. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, literally we have, when we become children of God, that's when you're born again, we literally have authority. So that means you're right here and the devil's right. He's lower, way lower. I mean, like you have angels right here, a little bit higher, but one day we'll be a little bit higher than angels. But you are literally over the devil. You literally have that authority. But if you have no idea that you have that authority, if you're fearful, mind you, I went to a church years ago where this is the first time I heard that a pastor was afraid of the devil. I'm like, are you serious? Are you in the right industry? You know, you cannot fear what you have so much power over. It's weird. It's like you being afraid of an ant. You just easily squash it. I don't encourage going around squashing ants, but you know, you have that authority over the enemy. But guess what? People aren't taught that they have that. I was speaking, matter of fact, I interviewed someone yesterday or the day before, I don't remember. And I said, what is it where the church is so weak in the United States? Because he has churches in Pakistan and in Africa. And he says, well, yeah, the church is only weakened. The church is very much weakened in the Western world where they're only taught word, but they're not taught how to do anything. They're taught. Right. And honestly, where I live in Colorado Springs, they know the Bible. They know the Bible up and down. But it doesn't matter if you don't know how to apply it. And that's it. Like people want to see it reflected in your life. You know, if you drop something, okay, like for instance, this is kind of funny. So we are supposed to reflect Jesus Christ. And that includes kindness. So we're at a cafe, me and my husband, we're at a cafe during lunchtime. And there was two women behind us and they were talking about Jesus. Oh, Jesus, this and the cafes. And, you know, I'm sorry, at the cafe, they were talking about Jesus and Bible study and all this stuff. Great. So me and my husband are laughing. And then I accidentally flew my glasses back because I'm just cracking up laughing at something he said. And then it flew right next to them. You know what they did? And they just waited for me to come and pick it up. Okay, small things like that as believers, pick it up, just give it to someone. I wasn't offended, but I'm like, okay, we're talking about Jesus here. So let's reflect. Jesus would pick it up because it fell right under their table by their feet. So you would think you could pick it up, stuff like that. But small things like that, it matters, you know? And then living the life that God tells you to live, you really have so much power. I mean, like even for instance, we're taught in a lot of churches that speaking in tongue is of the devil. The devil copied that because the Bible, if you read the Bible, speaking in tongues of a different language came before. The enemy, you know, had his witches and warlocks and voodoo priests speak any of that stuff, right? Matter of fact, even people being filled with the Holy Spirit, that came before. And then what did the devil do? He came out with, he came out with possessions after. Mm. So people think that you can't be possessed with Holy Spirit. But guess what? That is the first possession. If you read the Bible, the first time anything had come into anybody was Holy Spirit first. And then a devil copied that. So guess what? Now he's possession bodies now, you know? So not him, but, you know, demons possess bodies. So there's so much power that we have. But if we are kept ignorant, well, guess what? And that's why, like I told you earlier, how we have so much authority over a lot of aspects of life. We don't have to go through a lot of things that we go through. Because remember, not every fight is a battle and not every battle is a war. You don't have to go to war with some things in your life, but everything seems to be a struggle sometimes. Why? Why is everything a struggle? Why does everything feel like it's a war all the time? But if you know your word and you stand on it and you believe it, and that's the thing too, because the enemy likes it. You got to put on a helmet. If you believe and you stand on the word of God, which can be hard, still ask the Lord, if I have this unbelief, please take it away and give me more. Give me more faith, because everyone comes with some form of faith. Even though it's small, he may give you some form of faith, but then he gives you more if you ask for it. And I mean, he'll do it. He loves blessing us.
Amen. Well, I'm going to ask you to in just a little bit, pray for the people that have been watching and listening to this, that they would have that faith. And I want to ask also that you just exude the joy of the Lord. And so I'm going to ask you to pray joy over the people that are watching this as well.
Amen.
But my last question for you is, you've been doing this Deep Believer YouTube channel. How is doing this and hearing these conversations and having these conversations and seeing the comments, how has this changed Jennifer?
It's changed me because it realized that we're not alone, and it makes me realize that we have more work to do. We have more work to do, but it's doable. But even more so, it gives me a joy to know that God is speaking in so many more people than I even suspected. Mm-hmm. I knew that God was speaking to some people, you know, and I would have the experiences. This is why, you know, I interview more people, because I'm like, okay, I know I'm not the only one. But to know that so many more people are having these experiences, more people than we expect, because we're fearful, because we're nervous that, you know, people won't believe me. Who cares? God believes you. He knows. And eventually, and even I always say this too, John, I always say, if the Lord reveals something to you, or if something happened to you and you know it's true, share it if God allows you to share it, and don't be afraid of looking crazy, because guess what? If you look crazy, they will never forget you. They'll never forget what you said. And then one day down the line, they'll remember that crazy thing you said and say, John was right. Oh, wow. So don't be afraid of how they think, because guess what? At the end of the day, they'll know you're right. Eventually, it may take years, but they'll know you're right eventually. So no, it's changed me to the point where I love on people so much more. It strengthens your faith. It gives you more mercy with people. The pride ceases. You know, everybody, I'm telling you, like anywhere you go, the enemy tries to put pride in there. You got to keep yourself. You got to keep that pride away, because that's how did the devil get kicked out of heaven? Pride and jealousy. Yeah. Yeah. So don't let that into your camp. But I've learned a lot about people. I learned a lot about ministry. American churches need a lot of work. So we got to pray about that too. And so I've grown, and I've grown for the better, to know that nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. I have a long way to go. And I mean, it won't be complete until I get to heaven. So
amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Jennifer, where can people find you?
All right. Yeah. So basically, you can go to our website, www.deepbeliever.com. You can go to our YouTube channel, Deep Believer. If you would like to purchase my book, I Saw God Last Night, you can do that on Amazon, or you can go through the Deep Believer website, and then I'll sign it for you and all that stuff and ship it over to you.
Very cool. Jennifer, would you pray for our audience that they would have that faith as well as the joy of the Lord?
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, through Holy Spirit, we just thank you so much for who you are. We thank you so much for what you've done. We thank you so much for everyone watching right now. We thank you so much for this platform for charisma, Lord Jesus, because you are full of charisma. So we pray that you will instill that into everyone watching right now, the charisma and the zeal for you, Lord Jesus. We pray right now that you will put a hunger and a thirst and a willingness for your glory to enter into their lives, that they'll want to act out everything that you've taught them in your word, that Lord Jesus, you even take off the spirit of laziness upon a lot of people that the enemy has put on, and just give us the spirit of enthusiastic characteristics where we want to read the word, let it soak in, let us apply it, let us know our authority in Christ and who we are, put it to action, put it to use, that we will help change lives, that we will love on people, that we will bless people, that people will see the light in us that comes directly from you, that when people look at us, they won't even see us, that they'll see you, Lord. We pray that you would just put a mantle of protection on everyone watching right now, Lord Jesus, that every single thought will be covered in your blood, Lord. We pray that you would just let us know our authority that we do have, every last person watching, and that they will utilize it, because not every war is meant to be fought. And Lord Jesus, even when you had your people go to war, you never told them, don't go on a battlefield. But still, you fought for them. They went to battle, but yet you're the one who fought for them. So let them know that as well, Lord Jesus, that you are the fighter, Lord Jesus. You are the defeater, that you are the warrior. You are the conqueror, Lord Jesus. And when you're on our side, if you're with us, who can be against us? It doesn't even matter what comes up against us, because, oh Jesus, you're the one who fights for us. So let us have that confidence. Let us have that faith. Let us stand on it. We pray that everyone watching will grow. And with that, we will help others to grow in you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jennifer, thank you so much for allowing us to hear your story, your deep believer's story. And it's just been a privilege to be able to have you here on Charisma.
Thank you, John. I appreciate you and the Charisma family.